Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Now, I am not reintroducing the idea of purgatory. But on the other hand, I do believe the baby was thrown out with the bathwater. With that came a belief, when you die, you're instantaneously and magically made perfect.
The soul of someone who dies immediately goes into eternity. There is no place where you make up for your sins. There is no purgatory. In the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Look! Look! The pendulum! It's swinging back. This is Wretched Radio. About which pendulum do I speak? It's the discernment pendulum. Let's let Time Magazine take us back 20, 25 years ago. You may recall it was the headline story. There is a resurgence of conservative Christianity in America. It's a force to be reckoned with. Conferences, movements, publishing. It was a thing, and Time Magazine recognized it, and we got on that roller coaster and we rode it with delight. Why? Because we were returning to the five solas. Topical preaching was going away. We were doing expository line-by-line preaching, and theology became a thing. It had been watered down, not everybody, of course, but it had been watered down really for decades in popular evangelicalism, and Time Magazine recognized something different is going on here. And along the way, the roller coaster took a dip. And it was the dip of, brace yourself for this, knowledge. You say, wait a second. Conservative Christianity and the resurgence thereof, it was about the intellect. Oh, I agree. We dug theology. We loved that stuff. We dove into it. And what happened? It appears the Bible is right again. That knowledge that we amassed puffed up. It inflated our opinion of what is right and wrong to the degree that we started to see little fissures inside of conservative Christianity. And those fissures, they turned into chasms. And over the years, we have seen a fracturing of conservative Christianity to the point that many of us are downright grieved. This is not the first time that we have discussed this subject here on Wretched Radio. Years ago, started recognizing, what exactly are we fighting about anyway? And it appears that we elevated non-essential doctrines to the level of essential. And we started to see this delightful movement that we were so enthralled with, not just fracture, but frankly, shatter. But I'm wondering if we're turning a page and we're seeing a new chapter. You see, as part of the conservative resurgence, discernment became a thing, rightly so. Because the more you know, the more you recognize what's wrong, the more you understand what's right, you got that straight line, the easier it is for you to recognize the crooked. And so we got pretty good at discerning. And then we got really good at discerning. Then we got extremely intense about discerning. And we became Berean Nazis. We started to criticize everything. And believe me, I love doing that because it's my spiritual gift. But it became harsh and divisive, antagonistic. And I think that now, as we arrive here in the year 2025, I think Time Magazine could write another article. Put a fork in it. It's done. Paul Washer and I spent some time together at the MacArthur Memorial. Paul Washer several times said to me, I think the movement is done.
Ooh. Ooh.
Paul Washer, he ain't no prophet, but he's pretty accurate in seeing trends come. And he made it very clear that he thought this is, it's done. But I'm wondering if the discernment pendulum is swinging back. The pendulum used to be way over on the liberal side. We just don't discern at all. Well, the pendulum started to swing back. We got good at it. We got too good at it. We got really hyper about it. And all of a sudden, we become censorious. But I think we have sufficient proof to suggest that the pendulum is about to swing back. Now, please note, as it does, if you are like me, and if you are, I'm really sorry for that, your immediate concern is, whoa, 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 that means the pendulum can swing back into liberal land where we don't discern at all. We have to be on guard for that. Because, if you will, the pendulum finds its rest in the middle. And that's the spot where we need to be. I'm not talking about the theological middle. I'm talking about having the right balance of discerning the essentials, even discerning the differences in secondary and tertiary doctrines, and discerning those who are outside of the camp. Now, I've seen this so many times. There will be a difference of opinion on a particular issue. And one group will say, oh, they've just got this horribly wrong. And then this group says, oh, they got it horribly wrong. But then if you ask them, so do you think they're heretics? Well, no. Okay, there's a good starting place. But instead of treating one another as brothers and sisters with theological distinctives, the pendulum swung way too far. But now I believe it's making a return back. How do I know this? Well, we did a video on the John MacArthur Memorial, and we talked about John Piper's presence, Alistair Begg's presence at that memorial, because I think it perplexed everybody, because it appeared to all of us that are just out here for years that there had been a separation. But that memorial revealed there hasn't been one. And those men remained dear friends. Those individuals were still talking to one another. Whoa, what are we to make of that? And I believe that that's one of the signs that maybe the pendulum is swinging back. John Piper's address, I think that he was actually seeking to make that point, not by punching anybody in the nose, but preaching a biblical ecumenism, that when our hearts are knit together, our hearts are, you know, knit together. And yeah, we can have differences of opinion on issues, but that doesn't mean that we are apart from one another. But that isn't the only sign, I think, that we might be seeing the discernment pendulum swinging back to a corrective center. The comments below the video that we put up, first of all, give or take 200,000 people watched it. I think last time I saw or heard about 1,500 comments. And while I didn't count them up, although Dalton, you could count them up and give us some scientific data, I would say that it was no doubt a majority, if not a plurality, if not the overwhelming majority were like, ah, good, because we've noticed that too. Now, well, maybe Dalton can take a look at those numbers and we can actually have some scientific data. How many people in response to a video that said, hey, it looks like we can have fellowship with some folks that heretofore we thought we couldn't. I think that data is instructive for us, that there are more people who have noticed we've overcorrected when it comes to discernment, and maybe now is the time to pull it back. Here is, I think, more evidence that we're seeing the pendulum swing back. From G3 Ministries, Scott Aniel. He's the new president, Grand Poobah, whatever his title is. He has been a part of the ministry for years, but now with the revelations that we all know about from G3, the leadership has changed. And Scott Aniel, I think, is clearly trying to steer that organization in a different direction. It is my opinion that prior to the revelations of the inner workings of G3, of which, by the way, Scott Aniel, Virgil Walker, they were simply not a part of it. I think that it's safe to say that G3 was one of the leaders in the discernment fracturing that we've seen. They have done tons of great work. And I believe with Scott at the helm, they are going to do more great work. And what Scott just wrote and put out for the world to read, I think is an indicator. He recognized it. And he's making a correct correction. That's right. I wrote that. A correct correction at G3. The article is titled Conviction and Charity. Ow, that's hard. I got the conviction part down. Charity. Many of us read, oh, liberal. But that's not actually what the word means. Scott Aniel unpacks exactly what he's talking about. And I think it is another example and demonstration. The pendulum is swinging back. This is Wretched Radio.
Okay, I'm going to admit it up front. I'm about to use every cheesy sales phrase in the book because, well, this time, they're actually true. The Fortis store is closing permanently, and we literally mean everything must go because after this month, there won't be a store. Presently, you're going to notice that we've slashed prices up to 75% off all physical inventory. That's books and booklets and DVDs and CDs. You know, the old-fashioned things you can actually hold without charging your battery. And at these prices, you're going to wonder if we've lost our minds. Spoiler alert, we haven't. We found our mission. Thanks to our incredible gospel partners, we're going to be making all of our digital resources completely free on Fortis Plus. Free, as in $0. But first, help us empty our shelves. You've got through the end of this month to take advantage of all of our physical inventory. After that, these resources are going to become collector's items. Visit FortisInstitute.org right now. Trust me, your future self is going to be grateful you didn't miss out on this wonderfully ridiculous clearance event going out of business sale or something. FortisInstitute.org.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You know what's frustrating? Reading about the Holy Spirit and still not really understanding how He works in your life. I mean, you want to understand, right? But it just feels so unclear. Well, here's something that's going to help. Fortis Institute fellow Dr. John Krotz is going to be coming to the Wretched Studios on Saturday, August 30th. He's going to be doing 6 sessions on the Holy Spirit. Like, how do you know when the Spirit is leading you? Or how does the Spirit help you deal with sin? What does it mean to be adopted by God? Look, if you've ever wondered about this stuff, this is your chance to finally get clear answers from someone who really knows the Bible. Coming up Saturday, August 30th, 8:30 in the morning is what time it's going to get underway and start. You can be here, you can be a part of it, absolutely free, but space is limited. So go to FortisInstitute.org/Holy Spirit right now as quick as possible and get signed up because the limited spaces will fill up fast. FortisInstitute.org/Holy Spirit. Trust me, you'll be glad that you went.
Know your church fathers. Ignatius of Antioch was a disciple of Peter and John and the Bishop of Antioch. He was arrested and sentenced to die in the Roman arena. As he prepared to go to his death, Ignatius said, "Let fire and cross, flocks of beasts, broken bones, and dismemberment come upon me, so long as I attain to Jesus Christ."
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Is it time for conviction and charity? This is Wretched Radio. Let's dive in to Scott Aniel's article from G3 Ministries calling for both conviction, a closed hand, and charity, an open hand. Many of us, we got the closed hand thing down. That's my bent. I freely admit it. I'm right. Anybody else that doesn't agree is flat out wrong. And I'm really skeptical. And if we were going to have fellowship, I'd have to have a clothespin on my nose. That's kind of the way some of us, especially me, are built. And Aniel is reminding us, hey, there's stuff where we can be open-handed. And I think this article is a demonstration that G3 Ministries is on the course to being much healthier and perhaps, possibly, more beneficial to the body than ever before. And believe me, G3 has been beneficial to the body. I think that they have an opportunity with Scott at the helm to really help local pastors and local churches, because that's where it's at, Daddy-O. It's the local church. If the conservative movement is fracturing and becoming weaker, then let the local churches become stronger, because that's what national ministries should be about. Not growing in strength for itself. That is abiblical. We are to be not just parrot church, but as Scott calls it, sub-church, underneath the church, building up the church. So let's let Scott Aniel perhaps encourage us to have conviction and charity. From the article, if you've spent any amount of time in serious theological conversations, especially in the digital town square of our day, you have felt the heat, haven't we all? A discussion about a finer point of doctrine begun in earnest can quickly devolve into a battlefront. Lines are drawn, motives are questioned, and brothers in Christ who agree on 95% of the faith can begin to treat one another as adversaries over the remaining 5%. Here's a great line. The light of fellowship flickers under the heat of argument, and our shared witness is often dimmed in the process. CRT is designed to fracture and divide. And guess what? It has succeeded in our circles. And what has it accomplished? Well, exactly what Aniel is saying, that our correct biblical unity should produce. That the heat of argument, our shared witness, is often dimmed in the process. The world should see, okay, those people, they don't go to the same church. They don't have exactly the same beliefs on everything, but wow, look at, they love one another. Is that the impression that the world would get from a lot of our online discussions? Is it time for us to turn the page? Now, I'm not saying we throw out our convictions. That's Scott's point. I am saying we hold on to our convictions in one hand, but we recognize there are other theological issues that can be held in an open hand. Back to G3. We've all seen it. We've all, if we're honest, likely participated in it. Yep, it's so easy to do. This is why we got to help one another on this deal. I personally think I do it perfectly every time. Well, because it's me. Of course, then you don't understand why I said it or did it or talked about this guy or that guy. We've been trying to follow rules of discernment here for well over a decade. Do we always hit the mark? Of course not. That's why I need you to lovingly correct me, and I'll try to do the same for you. This incidentally doesn't mean that there are never any public videos calling out a false teacher, but come on, there's a difference, isn't there, between, I don't know, say, Ken Copeland and pretty much anybody in our circle. So we're going to keep discerning. We just need to do it a little betterer. Back to Scott. In the age of this theological resurgence, where more believers than ever are rediscovering the riches of Scripture and the historic confessions of the faith, our zeal for truth can sometimes outpace our cultivation of charity. We rightly desire to be Bereans, searching the scriptures daily. But we can wrongly become Christians, declaring, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, I follow Cephas, I follow Christ, I follow, fill in the blank with your favorite. You got one. You got one. And you've also got some that you would say, not a chance. But some of these not a chance ministries are orthodox, small o, orthodox. They're sound in the faith. And while you might not attend that conference, while you might not consume the materials they produce, that doesn't mean that we need to divide from them or speak disparagingly about them. There's a reason I think the pendulum swung too far, backwards, forwards, and it's a hard issue. It's hard. It's discernment is in child's play. It ain't easy to get it right all the time, which is why, again, we need one another, which even means that if you're listening to this or you're watching this and you disagree, okay, share it as if we're brothers, as if we're a brother and a sister. We're talking about a climate change here. We're not talking about giving up on our theology. We're talking about our tenor and our tone and our temperature. That could preach in any Southern Baptist church right there. Back to Scott Aniel, who wrote, the purpose of Conviction and Charity, that's going to be their new series, is not to flatten the beautiful rugged terrain of Scripture into a featureless plane of theological indifference. It is not to suggest that all doctrines are of equal weight, or that our conclusions on these matters are of no consequence. God forbid. Rather, the goal is to model a way forward, a way of dialogue that takes both truth and love with the utmost seriousness. It's an attempt to put into practice the apostles' command to be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, even as we engage in the rigorous work of understanding His word more perfectly. Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing? We're trying to understand God better by rightly dividing His word better. That's a different task than just debating with a brother. We should be like, okay, you've got your tools, I got my tools. Let's dive into this together and let's work through it. Hey, bro, you think this about eternal sonship. Did you ever consider this? How do you see this in light of that verse? We should be doing that. We must be doing that. But that is a radically different task than, okay, Pally boy, Mr. Pally boy, you got this wrong. You don't know what you're talking about. No, this verse doesn't mean that. And it becomes so combative. That ought not to be the way. So the series, Conviction and Charity, will not be about first-tier doctrines. We're not going to debate those. Fist is closed. We're not going to be debating first-tier doctrines. We will not be debating the Trinity, the deity of Christ, etc. Instead, we'll be exploring what many have called second-tier or secondary doctrines. These are not unimportant issues because they're in the Bible. They are worthy of our most careful study. However, they're issues where Bible-believing, gospel-cherishing, God-fearing Christians have studied the same scriptures and arrived at different conclusions. To G3 and Scott Aniel, I say salute. And I also say, this is a very big sign. The pendulum is moving back. Let's not let it swing into the land of liberalism. But perhaps it's time for all of us, and I think the majority of us, to say, we're going to do better this round. We've seen the passing of greats, Sproul and MacArthur, whom, incidentally, they were able to function on this level. Presbyterian and a Baptist getting along. Let's take that cue and let's turn a page and let's run with it. And perhaps this test will help you to determine how it is that you should engage with somebody with whom you have a disagreement. Please note, I have no problems calling out Benny Hinn and saying that he's a scoundrel. He's horrible for the body. He's downright criminal. No problem with that, as long as my heart isn't filled with animosity toward the man. We're not going to stop doing that. So don't think that this throws out all the discernment baby with the bathwater, but this is a test. Let's just say there's somebody online or somebody to conference with whom you disagree. And lo and behold, you find yourselves on a boat that hits an iceberg and you swim to an island. Don't ask me to make sense of the iceberg and island existing in the same swimming distance. The point is you're on an island with that guy with whom you disagreed. You're going to fellowship with your only other believer with whom you disagree on a secondary or tertiary issue? That is the test. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. Here's a number that should make every British parent lock their doors. Sex crimes by foreign nationals in the UK have exploded by 62% in 4 years. 1,114 convictions last year alone. And the violence isn't limited to just Europe. Muslim militants just attacked another Christian village in Nigeria, killing three farmers who were simply trying to feed their families. This is the same village where 200 Christians were massacred just 2 months ago. The survivors are living in refugee camps, but some men stayed behind the farm because somebody has to provide for the widows and orphans, which is exactly what makes them targets. You want to know what actually is changing? Southwest Airlines has just reversed their woke customers of size policy. Yeah, remember, they were giving obese passengers free extra seats while you paid full price. Well, I guess reality finally landed at corporate headquarters. Starting now, if you need 2 seats, you buy 2 seats. Pretty novel concept, right? That's what fairness actually looks like. Speaking of choices, here's a statistic that should stop you cold. Abortion has killed over 28 million members of Gen Z and Alpha. 1 in 5 Gen Zers never made it out of the womb. And look, these aren't numbers. These are brothers, sisters, future inventors, and teachers and church members who should be filling our pews. And the survivors are so traumatized that by 2022, half of all Gen Z pregnancies end in abortion. Half. We've created a generation that is so isolated and so broken that they're eliminating their own children at rates that would make Margaret Sanger proud. But here's the good news that matters. America's largest Planned Parenthood facility is closing its doors September 30th. The Houston Death Factory, 78,000 square feet of industrial-scale abortion, is shutting down. The place that starred in those undercover videos showing baby parts being haggled over like auto parts, gone. And speaking of abortion, Texas is also advancing a bill letting families sue abortion pill vendors for up to $100,000. That's how you protect life with consequences. Finally, President Trump just slapped India with a 50% super tariff for buying Russian oil and funding Putin's war machine. The prime minister thought he could play both sides, grabbing cheap oil while America foots the bill for global security, but he made a very seriously incorrect calculation. 2/3 of India's exports to the U.S. just got priced out of competitiveness. When your allies fund your enemies, they're no longer allies, they're opportunists. And according to the White House, opportunists are going to pay retail. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Books of the Bible. 2 Timothy is Paul's last letter before his execution. He encourages Timothy to persevere amid suffering. Paul had suffered for the sake of the gospel, but he also knew the beauty and power of the gospel. He charges Timothy to cling to and preach the gospel. When you face opposition, do not fear or be ashamed, but trust God and rely on his word.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The question is, how and when, which actually I think would be 2 questions. This is Wretched Radio. How do you know when you should criticize, judge, call out, condemn somebody who professes to be a Christian versus simply engaging in an issue and working through it. And then when all is said and done, you can have sweet fellowship together, which you actually should be having even during the conversation. The point is, how exactly do you do this? G3 Ministries, very, very helpful, seeing the need for both conviction and charity. An article written by Scott Aniel, he, I think, gives a little hint as to the how and when, the rubber meeting the road when it comes to discernment. It's sometimes called theological triage, that there are certain issues that are the closed-fisted issues, and then there's the open-handed, secondary, tertiary issues. That, I think, is super helpful. And if this entire conversation is kind of getting up your nose, please know that I get that. I get that. I think that if I had heard this presentation, read this article from Scott at G3, 20 years ago, I would have said, that's it. They've just gone the way of the liberal dodo bird. That's it. It's and might maybe be agitated. I think 20 years ago, I would have had that sentiment. In fact, I'm pretty confident I would have. But that was 20 years ago. And hopefully the Lord has been growing. I mean, shouldn't we all be able to look back and go, no? I mean, should. It's not easy to do. It's not all that pleasant to admit, I used to. But I think it's a testimony to God's patience with us and with God's the Holy Spirit empowering sanctification work in us that we change. And so if you're feeling like, oh man, enough asking us to be a little bit more moderated in our tone and over which issues we divide and debate, I had to just stop it. We need more. I get that. I get that. And so here, by the way, is my commitment. I'm never going to stop having. I want to get to the grave with, I'm going to do it again, in just coming out of me on the right issues, on the correct subjects, on the matters that demand fidelity and precision to the Bible. You can pick pretty much any of your classic confessions. And I would obviously have some disagreements, whether it's more of a Presbyterian confession versus a Baptistic confession. Of course, I'm going to have some differences, but I can pretty safely say I adhere to all of them at least 95%. And none of that 5% tend to be polity issues, not essential doctrines. We need to hold on to the, yes, I'm going to do it again. But we can't be that way on other issues. So now you ask, which other issues are you talking about? Glad you asked. This is from G3 Ministries, a new series that they're doing called Conviction and Charity. This one is perspectives on ecclesiology or eschatology, rather. And I think that they're going to spend more time dealing with the issue of eschatology, showing, hey, here's the differences. This is what we, this is what they. And they're going to have that conversation, but they're going to do it with conviction and charity. Pretty certain, not entirely certain, but I'm pretty certain the gang over at G3, probably pre-trib dispensationalists, they're going to hold on to that. Are they going to talk about amillennialism, post-millennialism? You know, maybe this will be helpful, especially if you're from the South. When we moved from Minnesota to the South, people told us, get ready for football culture. You can't imagine it till you get here. And when you do, it's like, woofta, because you still have remnants of Minnesota ingrained into you. Woofta, they are really into football here. And in fact, right before this program, in the hallway, there were four of us standing there. Two individuals had a shirt on with their school logo. And the third one wanted to, but that shirt was dirty today. I'm just telling you, we carry our colors and we love our schools. And something interesting happens when we get together. We play. we play. I don't think that somebody from Clemson genuinely hates somebody from UGA, like viscerally hates. They maybe talk like that. I hate the UGA. I hate the Bulldogs. I hate, but they don't. And when they get together with them, they'll play. They'll tease. For instance, it's super easy to make fun of those hideous colors from Tennessee. So I would say that color is just not on the. It's nowhere. What are those things called for paint and the. I don't want to get all construction-y here, but with the fan, the color wheel thing, it ain't on there. Bow and wow. Now I can say that to a buddy who's a fan of the Volunteers, and we play. I suppose it's devolved into some some fists flying, but overall it's a tenor of we're from the South, and you got a different team. And we kind of just engage with one another, more trash talky stuff. But there's, my opinion, most of the time, there's just this underlying tenor of playfulness. Jimmy, would you agree with that? That when people are dissing each other over it, it's all in good fun, if you will.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right. Not a perfect illustration. But on the secondary and tertiary issues, we should be more like that. Now, I'm not saying we diss and trash talk. My point is, you just get the sense that they aren't really trashing each other because you get the sense that they don't hate each other. And maybe that is the way that we need to be thinking about secondary and tertiary issues. That maybe if I'm stuck on a desert island with somebody who is amillennial, maybe I can get along with them. And I don't know, we can sit and swap Bible verses and sing hymns together because we have fellowship with one another. Maybe, just maybe. This is from Scott Aniel over at G3. I think this is helpful. The series will not be about first-tier issues. It will be about secondary and tertiary issues. These are doctrines that affect our understanding of church life, our philosophy of worship, our view of the future, but upon which our eternal salvation does not depend. That's a great rule. When you hear somebody say something and you go, swing and a miss, ask the question, will their understanding determine their eternal destiny being a lake of fire? Does it disqualify them from the kingdom? If not, and we need to get used to that, I know that I need to work on this. There's going to be people from different denominations and different movements that are actually in heaven. Now, I get it. There's some really apostate expressions of mainline Protestantism. I get it. I have no problems talking about the ELCA or the Presbyterian Church, United States of America. Their polity and their practice and their theology, it's just gone astray. The ELCA, if heresy has any meaning still, the ELCA denomination, it's heretical. Now, could there be some people inside of the ELCA that are saved? Sure, I think that can be the case. I don't know why they would want to stay there, but nevertheless, I can understand that. That they are in there somewhere, but that's a whole lot different than identifying somebody from, say, you got a difference with somebody from the Presbyterian Church America. Okay, what's the level? Is it going to determine their destiny? Because the Presbyterian Church America is soundly orthodox. They're not wonky. What's the issue that you're talking about? If it's eschatology, if it's how we understand the Lord's table, if it's church polity, and even some of the applications of these truths that we hold together, if they're not damned because of that position, I need to remember, so I'm going to be in heaven with this character, am I? Don't think we're going to be arguing about it because their theology will finally match mine perfectly, but I'm going to be in heaven with that person. Ask the question. Does their eternal salvation depend on it? A brother may be a Baptist and another a Presbyterian. They will worship together in the new heavens and the new earth. A sister may hold to a strict Sabbatarian view while another believes the Sabbath command is fulfilled uniquely in Christ. They will both enter God's eternal rest. Perhaps that singular question, will this difference determine their destiny of damnation, is a rule that we should start to live by? This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Ever feel like you're watching the world turn upside down and wondering if everyone else is seeing the same thing you are? Yeah, you're not alone. And at Fortis Institute, we're not just watching from the sidelines. We're fighting back with truth. We've brought together some of the most trusted voices in Christianity, people who aren't afraid to speak biblical truth into marriage and parenting and manhood and the cultural battles we're facing every day. But here's the thing. That mission, well, it takes resources. And that's where faithful gospel partners come in. By becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just supporting a ministry. You're investing in the spiritual fortification of countless believers and local churches across the nation. You're standing with us in this brave new world. And hey, while you're thinking about it, make sure you download Fortis Plus if you haven't already. Hundreds of hours of biblical content available for you to listen to right now, and we're adding more every day, and it's completely free for everyone. The church needs more than just encouragement right now. It needs equipping. Will you stand with us? Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. Let me ask you something. How much time did you spend on your phone yesterday? Don't answer that out loud. It's probably pretty embarrassing for the both of us. But here's the thing. You're going to be on that thing anyway, right? So why not use some of that time for something that actually matters? The Fortis Plus app. That's right. It is packed with content that'll change how you think, how you lead, and how you live. Hundreds of hours of teaching from voices you can trust. Marriage advice that actually works. Parenting wisdom rooted in scripture and theology that connects your mind to your life. And get this. It's all free. Completely free. No subscription, no hidden fees, just solid biblical content available whenever you want it. Plus, we're adding stuff every day, including my news feature that'll help you understand what's really happening in our culture through a biblical worldview. That's my intent anyway. Look, the world is trying to disciple you through your phone every day. Why not fight back with truth? Download Fortis Plus right now. It's free, it's powerful, and it's time to take back your screen time and use it for the kingdom. Fortis Plus at fortisplus.org. So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh, so they suggested we call it personal brokenness. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Maybe spiritual separation? Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. You have to make him one of many meaningful paths. And the call to repent and believe, that just raises a little bit of friction. How about like and subscribe? We thank them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel, a holy God, real sin, a just wrath, a crucified and risen Savior, and a clear call to repent and believe. And we'll do it kindly, clearly, and without the sales pitch. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. You can listen to your heart's content at fortisplus.org.
Lexicon. Providence is the word we use to describe God's preserving, upholding, and governing of His creation. God sustains His creation day to day through ordinary means established at the beginning of time, and He intervenes in miraculous ways. In all things, God is working for His glory and for the good of those who love Him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Furthermore, is it possible that we've just been downright distracted? This is Wretched Radio. Oh, Jimmy, you've got some thoughts on this subject,
yeah?
Don't you?
Well, you know, talking about the battles that we sometimes engage in, the theological controversy that we sometimes find ourselves loving, I think a lot of times we feel like that gives us purpose. You know,
you're contending for the faith.
Contending for the faith.
But that's what, okay, hold your thought, but that's where it gets tricky.
Mm-hmm.
We're told to contend for the faith. So the problem when you say, well, we just need to define what that contending looks like, it can be heard that, oh, we don't contend at all. So we're to contend. You're not saying we shouldn't contend for the faith.
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that we do. Theological sharpness, I think, is a blessing, but it shouldn't become our identity.
I agree with that.
And I think it will, when it does, it distracts from the real mission. I mean, how many times, when we engage in this, I think we should take a step back and say, okay, well, how many times have I shared the gospel this week?
Well, that's where the distraction comes in.
Yep.
That we're to be about our master's business. Contending for the faith is a part of it. If that's the totality of one's Christian walk, I wouldn't call them a heretic. I would simply say, yo, bro, I think you need to adjust. I would even apply that to ministries. Let's just say here on Wretched Radio, we made the policy that said there is no public parachurch ministry that should be focusing on discernment. They should be focusing on Jesus and discernment as a part of it. That's the rule. Let's say then I bumped into somebody from a ministry where that's all it is just discernment. What do I do with them? Would I say, you're breaking my rule, which I think is a good rule and a right rule. Therefore, I'm going to trash talk you, or I'm going to divide from you. No, absolutely not. It's like, bro, let me share some thoughts with you. And hey, let me show you where I see your giftings and your strengths so that you can be advancing the kingdom and not just constantly defending the fortress, which we're called to do, but maybe your ministry could be tweaked a bit so that it does contain discernment, because we're all supposed to be Bereans, but so that it is a Christ-exalting ministry. So I don't want to divide over those who even see the issue of discernment differently than I do. And if I could just toss this out, if right now you're wanting to toss me out because I've been witnessing this for so many years, and we've have talked about this for so many years, and you're disagreeing with it, or you're concerned that maybe we're becoming squishy, then let's talk. And I, by the way, here's something interesting that I've observed about discernment. I've seen this before, and I've actually sensed the propensity in my own heart. You see abuses of discernment where you think they're not playing with any rules. They're coloring outside of biblical lines for being a Berean. I disagree with them. So I am going to judge that and almost scold or shame. Oh, those people, they're not discerning. We need to stop these people who are discerning like this. And I take on the exact same attitude. Because I think it's present really in all of us, more or less. I think it's present in all of us. When I see somebody with whom I have a disagreement, even in how they do discernment, I can't make discerning better my issue over which I'll divide. Wouldn't that be ironic? And so my plea with you is, all right, I'm sharing some stuff. I think it's right. I think, what am I, okay, so this is a open-handed issue for me because these issues are tricky and complex. I get that. So I'm sharing with you, this is how I'm kind of seeing the discernment culture right now amongst us. And I think it's fracturing us. And I think we're missing out on a lot of sweet unity. And I honestly, in my own heart, I sense it. For years, meeting somebody. Just in an airport. It's do you remember the Emo Phillips joke? There's a guy he's on the Golden Gate Bridge or something, and he's walking across the bridge, and there's a guy on the ledge. He's going to jump off the bridge. Hey, friend, don't do that. Are you a Christian? I am a Christian. What kind of Christian are you? I'm a Protestant Christian. I'm a Protestant Christian. What kind of Protestant Christian are you? And I'm just filling in the blanks here. Well, I am a I'm a Reformed Christian. I'm a Reformed Christian too. What kind of Reformed Christian are you? I adhere to the London Baptist 1689 Confession of Faith. I adhere to the London Baptist Confession of Faith from 1699. Do you believe in the first or second edition? I believe in the first edition. Die, heretic! And he shoves him off the bridge. Now, that is something that I think we need to learn from and guard ourselves against, even as we go about the business of trying to find the correct place where the discernment pendulum should rest. That I don't want to use my differences of opinion with some folks on the issues of discernment to do the very same thing that I'm criticizing. And I've seen that before. I've felt it before in myself. All that to say, let's talk about this. Let's work through this. That's the entire point. If you're a born-again Christian, this is what I know. I love you. And if I'm on a desert island with you and you're square on the essentials, I am so glad you're there. I am so glad. Wait a second. What's your eschatological position? Well, I'm not going to throw you into the ocean. Glad you're there. This is a plea for us to take a look at the issue of discernment that I think has simply gotten out of control in many ways for many people. Not everybody, not to radical extremes, but I think it's time for us to take a look at the issue. And it appears that's what Scott Aniel is doing over at G3. Let me share with you some of the closing statement from his article as they launch a new series called Conviction and Charity. He writes this, and this is going to be hard for you. This is hard for me. To engage on these topics, secondary, tertiary issues, requires a particular kind of intellectual, like that word, and spiritual posture. Okay, we got to have both of these things. It requires the humility to recognize that our own interpretations. Jimmy?
Yes.
Would you remember these two words? Because I can't say them. You're going to say, when I pause, you're going to say, are fallible.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Mm-hmm. It requires the humility to recognize that our own interpretations
are fallible.
Glad you said it, because I know yours are. On the other hand, that's hard, isn't it? That's hard, because you go, I get it. You think, wait a second, if I'm off on something, like, how off can I be? And what is the issue? Does that mean I'm not a Christian? Okay. Well, I think we can certainly discuss that, but I don't think that needs to be the immediate conclusion, or I don't think it disqualifies the idea that Scott is putting forth here, that we recognize, well, I think I've, how's about this? Can we all agree to this? I think I've got it more right than anybody else. I think I can live with that statement as long as it's not snotty. I think I'm more right than anybody else. And I'm gonna find those like-minded people to be in fellowship with. I can live with that too. If I didn't think that I had it right, I would change. I would alter. I would recant on whatever is necessary. But in the meantime, I'm going to hold on to these things with a closed fist on the essentials, an open hand on the secondary issues, recognizing I could have something wrong. I could have an application wrong. You just, when we read these stories online about the stuff that's going on, we don't know a fraction of what's actually happening behind the scenes. And our judgment can be so limited in that regard. And so I need to recognize I might just have it wrong. I can be fallible, even as we strive to be faithful to the text. It requires the patience to listen carefully to a brother's argument, seeking to understand it in its strongest form before we critique it. Ooh, that's a challenge. And it requires the love to believe the best about his motives. Assuming, of course, he loves Christ and his word just as much as we do. And this conclusion, let us speak the truth in love, holding fast to our convictions with one hand while holding fast to our brothers and sisters, in the other. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.